again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 216 of the NLSC podcast. This is your weekly podcast here at the NLSC, where we of course talk about basketball video games and a little bit of real basketball as well. I'm Andrew, the webmaster administrator and producer of some of the other content here at the NLSC. I'm joined by my co-host Ben. You may also know him as Arcane.
Hey everyone. And you do more than just a little bit of the content, pretty much.
Well, you know, I take care of a few things here and there, head janitor, writer, and video, video producer, executive producer of the podcast, you know, whatever fancy titles I want to give myself at any given time.
Mr. Junior Vice President.
Yeah, you know, executive vice president. No, junior executive vice president. But, I mean, there have been weeks where I've done the podcast, I've done the articles, I've done a video feature, and also a mod release. So those have been some very, very productive weeks when I've been able to do that. Can't do that every week, but I would like to do a little bit more video and modding content, of course. So stay tuned for that. I don't want to announce anything before it's ready, especially with my tendency to procrastinate, Ben. That's probably my worst feature. I also don't like being photographed on my left side as well. just throw that out there. no, but yes, here we are again to talk about some of our favorite subjects. It's been another kind of a big week in news, or certainly there has been news coming out. So it seems that last week wasn't a fluke, Ben. We actually do have some news coming out maybe each and every week from here on out.
Fingers crossed. It seems that way. So yeah, this is pretty good news week indeed. So,
and we're only about 6 weeks away from the release of NBA 2K18 and NBA Live 18, or we believe NBA Live 18 will have a similar release date. I don't think we have a confirmation on that, do we? The exact date.
I think they've said September 15th.
They have said September 15th. I'd be surprised if it's not around about the same time. I mean, there has been some reports recently of it being released in December, which has really confused everyone. And also PC, which has got everyone's hopes up. But unfortunately, not PC, and fortunately, not December. So I think there's going to be clarification coming on that. I think it was GameSpot got that wrong, Ben?
Yes, and they have retracted that, so, and they've clarified their mistake in that part. I just checked before we just recorded, so...
So that's, you know, hats off for the clarification. We all get things wrong from time to time. I know I've done that with patch announcements and so forth when I've got my wires crossed with some of the information that's come through on social media. Happens to the best of us, but here we are. So we might as well get stuck straight into the news this week. And the news that we're going to open with, of course, Ben, is the exciting news for NBA Live fans, which is the NBA Live 18 demo will be coming out next week, August 11th. Which, I guess, confirms that leaked date.
Yeah. So much for my theory that it was the date to have it ready to submit to Microsoft and Sony and that. So that's pretty cool.
We played it safe. We played it safe with those predictions because it could have been anything else, you know. And we've obviously got some other news as well to talk about this week with NBA Live 18. Fortunately, it wasn't August 11th before we started hearing news about the game. We actually got some more information about that. But focusing on the demo at first, so the demo is going to give us a look at the One, obviously. Not a lot of details as yet. I'm guessing they're going to come through probably as soon as we finish recording, Ben, actually. That's usually the way it goes. But we're going to get a look at the One, which comprises the league and the streets. I think it's going to be mostly looking at the streets. That's the impression that I get, the Pro-Am side of things. I'm guessing it hasn't been confirmed, but I would say that there's a good chance that the face scanning app will be released as well, so we can get our face into the game early. Because I do know it was mentioned before that progress from the demo will go over to the full game, like it did with 16.
Yeah. I think they've stated from memory that the app would be out like about 2 or 3 days before the demo release or something like that.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so that way, you know, you'd sort of start preparing, get your face ready and all that stuff. I realized actually about a day or two ago that for the demo, because we'll be playing it essentially next week, the stage next week, that I need to clear up some hard drive space on my PlayStation 4.
Yes. I guess I'll have to as well. It's one of those things. I haven't bought an external drive for it, so I find myself having to clear up stuff. I'm terrible at having stuff on there that I'm not playing, but I have on there just in case I want to play it again.
Yeah.
And of course, because I am doing video features every so often, I think, oh, you know, I want to go back and get something from my 2K16 My Career, because you know how you can go back and watch the video, for example.
Yep, yep.
you know, I think I've still got 2K16 on there just in case I want to do that. But of course, it's, what, 60 gigs on there just in case I want some footage. So
yeah.
It might be one of those times where I just need to go back, sit down one day, get all the footage I need for one time. I can always install it, reinstall it later, of course, but then you've got to wait for the patches to download, etc. But yeah, as far as getting the footage, I might just have to bite the bullet and get a bunch of stuff and have that put on my PC, my desktop, just to have that on hand. But yeah, gonna have to clear up that hard drive space, of course, and check that out. And we'll thinking we might even, because I just registered signed up for an NLSC Twitch account the other day, Ben.
Nice.
So we haven't done anything with it, so I haven't really promoted it or anything. But maybe we might do a bit of streaming on that if we get onto the demo. Or you know, no promises, but it'd be a nice way to test it out, I think, the Twitch account. Sure. So yeah. we'll have a look at that. Hasn't been said, but I'm guessing there's also going to be a Cavs Warriors game as well. Like an NBA game, maybe, because that was in the 16 demo as well, the NBA stuff. So I think they're still going to preview that. I'd be surprised if they didn't. They haven't said, still have to get confirmation on that, but I'm guessing, if anything, it's going to be Cavs and Warriors being the finals matchup.
Yeah, I like to see maybe like four teams at least. So that way you can sort of get, you know, because aside from the fact that the Cavs Warriors were in the previous demo, and, you know, for both games and that, you know, just sort of something a little different, like two extra teams that play different styles, so that way you can get a real feel of the different play styles and how teams can feel different and play different in that. So I think that would be good, just to sort of take out a repetitive factor and element to a degree,
definitely. I mean, I'm all for having like at least four teams in the demo. Obviously you can have the Cavs and Warriors because, you know, the finalists and everything, but if you can have another couple of top teams, maybe one from the East, one from the West. I think that would be a great idea as well. I think other games have done that before with live. I'm trying to remember what was in the Live 16 demo, or whether it was just Cavs and Warriors. Or no, 16 might have been the Thunder and Cavs, actually.
Yeah, I think that was
because of Westbrook as the cover player, of course.
Yeah, and you had to hit the game winner shot with Westbrook. From memory.
Yeah, that was the demo when you installed Live 16, the full version.
That's right.
So I might have to double check myself on that, but I'm pretty sure they have done demos that have got multiple teams in there before. But
yeah,
I just remember,
was it maybe in Live 14 or even 15?
Could have been one of those two. It's really, you know, I'm drawing a blank at the moment, and it's been a while since I played those demos, obviously. This is jumping ahead a little bit in the news, of course, but WNBA teams have been confirmed for Live 18, and I did see on Twitter that apparently a couple of WNBA teams are going to be in the game, so I guess they may be the other two teams in the game. There's a couple of WNBA teams.
That'll be interesting. Damn it, I said it. Damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it. I think that'd be good. I think that, you know, that'd be a good way to, again, that element of variety and something different, so it doesn't feel monotonous and the same and that sort of things with the team selection. So, yeah, I'll be for that.
So we're going to say our guess is a couple of WNBA teams, at least a couple of NBA teams, a look at the streets, possibly, for the one, of course, which is the new career mode this year. The streets comprises the 2K Pro-Am circuit. It's going to have live events as well, which consist of real-time challenges. That's where you can earn crates.
You said 2K Pro-Am.
Did I say 2K Pro-Am? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. It's you know, it's what I've been playing for the last couple of years, I guess. So you're going to have live Pro-Am, the Pro-Am Tour, I should say, in the streets, which is going to have the Drew League and all the other venues, of course, the Pro-Am. And they released videos of the venues that have been confirmed for live Pro-Am, not 2K Pro-Am. 2K Pro-Am is, I guess, probably going to be our own venues again this year. So you could create these, I guess, to some extent, but it's not the NLSC Community Center. So that's all I'm saying. But we do have the Pro-Am locations have been confirmed. Rucker Park, obviously, the Drew League in Compton, Venice Beach in LA, the Crossover in Seattle, the Dyckman Park in New York, Barry Farms in Washington, D.C., and the Cherishaw Playground in Philadelphia. And there's videos that have been spotlighting those venues, and you can see the work that EA has been putting into that. Some screenshots have come through as well. Loot crates, I guess, or reward crates are going to be... reward crates more so than loot crates, I suppose, are going to be part of the live events in the streets as well. And that's the live events challenges. Live run, the similar... multiplayer co-op that we've seen before, which I guess is kind of like 2K Pro-Am, really. The live run is the closest to 2K Pro-Am in concept, and the Pro-Am tour where you can upgrade your player as well. So we got a bit more information about the streets this week, which was nice. I guess a lot of people have been do want to hear about the NBA side of things as well, because there was one thing that people said about Live 16 is that there's some really cool concepts with Live Pro-Am and everything that they did, and of course some of the other features did have NBA content. Roster editing obviously is a big one, but the other thing is people said, you know, where is the NBA content? You know, the NBA in NBA Live. So I really hope that while this stuff is really cool and a really good hook for NBA Live 18, I do want to make, you know, I really do hope that the NBA content is up to scratch as well.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I'm pretty sure we'll start hearing more about that probably maybe just after the demo drops.
Yeah,
you'll start hearing more. I think the first this week we'll be knowing a bit more about how the one and all that stuff works. And then I think after that we'll start hearing a
bit of Dynasty franchise kind of thing and Ultimate Team, the other traditional modes. Yeah, and of course the one comprises both the streets and the league. The league being the NBA side of things. So as far as I can see, the league, and if you wanted to stay completely in the league, you could do it, or vice versa. I think that's been a concern people have expressed that it's going to force you into playing both. My understanding is that there are rewards and benefits for playing both, but it's not necessary, which is a good way to go, because as we've discussed before, it's really bugged us, in fact, having to play my park to try and grind for that extra upgrades in 2K Pro-Am and my career. So for Live to be able to offer both experiences combined, or one or the other, if you want to just stick to one or the other, so much the better.
Yeah, it's that spice of life in the direction that you want to sort of take it. So I'm glad that they've added the ability to sort of choose which more path you want to sort of have that reputation and stuff in, you know. So yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
And playing in the Drew League and other parts of the Live Pro-Am Tour, yeah, will help you upgrade your player and earn benefits there. So it's not like it's just you could dabble in it, I suppose, if you wanted to, and actually get a bit of experience for your player, whatever, and level up. So it sounds like they've done it a really good way. It's still a lot to learn about it, and of course, I suppose we'll start learning about it maybe as of next week with the demo coming out. But the demo is hitting August 11th, so yeah, I'm looking forward to it and getting my hands in the game and seeing how it feels and seeing how the gameplay works out, and then hopefully getting that good all-round experience when the game drops in September and not December.
Yes. Important thing to rehash out there, because there was that lot of confusion. So.
And unfortunately not PC. You know, we do hope that it returns to PC in the future. We've said that many times in the past. Obviously, we go a long way back with the PC in our community and still do great things for the PC version of 2K, but for the moment, it's important that Live reestablishes itself on the primary platforms, that being PS4 and Xbox One, and then wins the fan base back and really, really reestablishes itself, and then it can look to developing a PC port. And I know the developers have expressed interest in that, but it all comes down to higher ups making that decision. But it comes down to the game being viable in the first place and successful.
Yeah, so I think the successful part in terms of sales and that. So basically, the support behind it and with the community purchasing it, I think that will help bring a stronger case for it to come back on PC. So if it has a good selling year, I think it'll help. It probably won't happen like straight away. It might be another, if it takes like one or two more years for it to sort of in terms of good console sales and continually builds up, I think there's a good chance, and we continue the petitions and all that stuff, all the community feedback and all that stuff,
demonstrating that interest, absolutely.
And not just sort of stating, oh, I want it on PC, state why, give an in-depth reason, something to sort of like
post your specs, show that you actually have a gaming rig and not a Pentium 4 from 2002. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you know, but make a PC version, but make it run with my 15-year-old machine. Like, yeah, now if you want to be a PC gamer in 2017 and beyond, you know, at least make sure that you're going with a fourth generation i5 or something, you know, something that's still pretty viable to at least run the game on medium to medium high. Yeah, no, absolutely. And we'll keep pushing for that and because, you know, we do support the PC. We have expanded to consoles over the years and tried to develop content that can be enjoyed across all platforms, but we'll always support the PC version in one way or the other and reiterate to Live and to EA, I should say. And of course, you know, to Visual Concepts, please keep making the PC version of 2K as well. You know, we'd love to have both games on all platforms, but it does come down to supporting it. So if you do have a PS4, check out, or PS4, I should say, Xbox One as well. You know, I always think PS4 because that's what we're on. Not trying to start a war. You know, after all, the greatest console war was Genesis, Mega Drive versus Super Nintendo and Super Nintendo 1. Just putting that out there, being a Nintendo fanboy from the 90s. But if you do have the PS4 or Xbox One, check out that demo and so that you can at least give the feedback to and show that interest in the game. And, of course, you know, pick up the game when it comes out if you do feel so inclined. You know, we're obviously going to be doing it. But, you know, support the EA in that way and show the interest and give them the feedback and show the interest in the game. And we'll keep saying, hey, and we'd also love this on PC as well. So we'll even go through Origin. If we have to, you know, for the PC distribution, if we have to. Because obviously we've been going through Steam for 2K for the last few years. You know, there's no physical release for the PC version of 2K, so we definitely will accept a digital version over no version at all for PC.
Yeah, so, yeah, for sure.
So it's...
And I have to, because my laptop doesn't have a disk drive, so...
Yeah, well, my desktop... does have one, so I guess it's, well, I guess it's backwards compatible, I guess. But yeah, I have mostly gone digital recently because now the internet in Australia actually kind of allows it, so that's nice. We did say that the WNBA teams have been confirmed for NBA Live 18. We got a trailer for it, we got some screenshots. You can check those out in the NBA Live 18 subsite, of course. But yeah, it's, I guess the big news this week for apart from the demo, of course, is the WNBA, Ben, and it's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I think it's about time, and, you know, for a few reasons, one in that being, you know, the female market in gaming is actually quite a large market and continually growing, so there's that side, and obviously equal representation in the game, so that way, you know, the WNBA stars and that get more formally recognized. And
for sure, also, visibility, and, yeah.
Yeah, and also I think the fact that, you know, with all the royalty aspects and all that stuff, like with player likeness and all that stuff, you know, it's an extra form of income to help them.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, again, another reason to support the game, help that side of things.
Exposure for the WNBA, which is, I think the ratings, I think, have been, I haven't looked into it, but, you know, the finals a couple of years ago were very, very well received. You know, it came down to the wire there. We commented on it in the podcast. Yeah, at least when that was last year, I think it was, the 2016 finals.
Yeah.
So obviously the interest in the league has remained and grown through the 20 years or so that the league has been around now, I think. I remember it came along in 97, so I think it's 20. I think it might be in its 21st season now, the WNBA.
Yeah, and the other thing to take into account too, you know, the women athletes are actually getting more athletic. You know, we've got a few more women dunkers and stuff like that. So I made the mention of, you know, the whole Futurama reference of good fundamentals.
No Ken Dunk, good fundamentals on the Amazon planet. And of course, you know, that is the thing, is that the women's basketball is still a fine brand of basketball. We are conditioned, of course, through our love of the NBA to love the big dunks from the taller men playing in the NBA and so forth. But, you know, It is a shame to see some of the disrespect that the WNBA gets, and you know, we can't pretend that jokes haven't been made, like the Futurama reference, obviously. But it has been disappointing. You know, Kenny, who couldn't make it this week again, but he mentioned on Twitter, you know, that he saw some of the comments. I've been avoiding them. Some of the comments around the social media sphere and whatnot about the WNBA, and of course, there's been the typical misogyny and other eye rolling, knuckle dragging comments about the whole thing. You know, it's it's not taking anything away from the NBA part of the product. You know, this is basically like adding historical teams or FIBA teams or EuroLeague teams. Basically, it's extra content in the game, and it's good exposure for the WNBA. And
exactly.
You know, for a lot of years, people have asked, you know, what about the possibility of a WNBA 2K or WNBA Live? And the thing that I've, and a lot of other people have always pointed out, is that because it doesn't have quite the same brand awareness or support as the NBA, it may be not be financially viable to do a standalone game. So this is a soft launch for a WNBA game within an NBA game, because this is going to be all 12 WNBA teams, not just a couple. Because a lot of people have been saying it's the first time WNBA players have been represented in a game. Not true.
Sure.
NBA Street Home Court by EA Sports, of course. EA Sports, under the EA Sports big label, did have a couple of players. Lauren Jackson was in that game, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. She was one of the key premier players in it.
It's not the first time. I mean, it's the first time that full teams have been included in the full WNBA. Yeah. So, splitting hairs, I guess. But the point is that we do have the whole league in there. They're only going to be available for play now and head-to-head online matchups. But they're talking about standalone modes in the future, the possibility of maybe having the WNBA players in Ultimate Team. Hints that it might be this year, but no confirmation on that as yet. And this is a good way to do it, though, to gauge that interest and to give more content in the scope of NBA Live. So that NBA Live could, in the future, perhaps encompass the NBA, WNBA, and maybe even the G League. You know, you could have like the official affiliated leagues of all the NBA as the extra content on top of the NBA experience. And of course, yes, I do want to see Dynasty or Franchise Mode get deeper, and I want to see the other improvements in the core gameplay and everything, but this isn't taking anything away. This is, you know, a really good move to add this content. It's extra content that some people have definitely asked for. We've had WNBA mods in the community before. We do have women and girls playing basketball video games. I certainly do not stand with the boorish comments that have been made. I've avoided them myself. You know, obviously I haven't made them myself, but I've avoided looking at the comments because I knew what it was going to be. But I've also seen a lot of people being very supportive, which has been very nice. It's just a great addition, I think.
Yeah, for sure. One thing I was just sort of thinking is a female take or female WNBA take on the one in, you know, the sort of rising star element, you know, they're having, especially if they were to eventually go to like a whole story mode.
Yeah.
You could have like the male NBA.
You go the NBA, the WNBA route. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now so, that you've got a license.
And, you know, especially now with this face scanning app, again, with the female gamers, you know, they could scan their face in and have the female body shape types and stuff like that, obviously, that we've seen from the WNBA trailer and that. So, you know, it opens up the possibilities and the paths to having that sort of diverse story and that sort of thing. So that'd be something I'm looking forward to seeing if they're able to push in the next like 1 or 2 years. So yeah, fingers crossed for that.
Definitely, and even just having a season mode or a franchise mode for both the NBA and the WNBA, the career mode. Again, what you can do with that extra content just opens up the possibilities for this well-rounded game with all this extra stuff that goes well beyond just being your old-school NBA game. And we've talked about having more depth in the NBA Live in terms of content and modes and everything. So this is a way to do it. And it's they've done a really good job, I think, with the players for the most part. You know, they're capturing the players just as they have with the men. You know, with capturing all the faces and tattoos and everything. And obviously, they've got the different body models and such. So,
especially if you look at like Maya Moore, who, you know, she's got a sort of like a stocky sort of frame compared to like in a sense similar to like a Chris, what would be like a Chris Paul sort of element, like short and stocky sort of look. You know, she's got that sort of build.
Yeah, it's not just one body model for all the women. You know, just as they've got the different physiques for the men, that they've represented all the WNBA players, or the ones we've seen, they've represented pretty well. So they put that same level of detail into that and such. So yeah, they've done it properly, basically, and they've done a really good job of adding this content. So hats off to EA for doing it.
Yeah. One thing I want to bring up. So the ex mentioned, like, you know, yes, it might not be something that he'd sort of play much of himself, but you know, he's got three daughters and they're excited when they watch him playing FIFA, you know, and they've yeah. got the women's league and all that stuff in there. So again, it's you know, it could have that similar effect for them with having the female players and that. So, you know, the future generations and stuff like that, the younger girls and all that. So I'm thankful for that sort of thing. And you know, that's what it could help, you know, bring into the in the future and that. So
definitely, it's representation. It gets the WNBA into a game for the first time. And as I said, it doesn't take anything away from anything else. And if you don't like this particular content, that's fine. You know, you don't have to play it. And that's it's like the EuroLeague teams in 2K. You know, I have nothing against EuroLeague. I've watched a bit here and there, and obviously, and you know, we have some Aussies playing over in Europe at the moment. And it's great to have the teams in the game. And that's the thing. Even though that doesn't interest me in particular, why not add as much content as you can? You know, because it'll appeal to someone. And you know, and,
exactly.
And you know. And this obviously does appeal to people because, again, we've had the request for the WNBA patches. There's been interest in a WNBA game. A soft launch is a economically viable way of doing it. Yeah, there's really sort of no reason to dislike it except for a rather disturbing and unfortunate attitudes, I guess, to say. And I'm sure people will make their accusations about that. But hey, you know, again, it's not like the NBA stuff is not going to be there. So if you're interested in it, it's there. And if not, hey, you know, stick to the stuff you want to play. But it is great that they're doing that. And it does look like there's going to be a couple of WNBA teams in the demo based on one of the tweets from the official WNBA account that I saw. So that's cool. Mm. So that's all the NBA Live 18 news we have this week. We do have a couple of NBA 2K18 stories to talk about. Nothing as in-depth as last week when we got that big developer blog, Ben. That was really cool to get that info dump. A few little tidbits about MyGM this week to touch on. But before we get to that, did want to talk about the latest screenshots that have come out. I've kind of been posting them in batches. You know, once I get about three or four coming in off the social media, I collect them and do a bulletin about them on the front page. People have been posting them one by one in the forum, which is great. Screenshots are looking pretty good. You know, that Lonzo Ball and Markel Fultz picture, they look pretty spot on, especially Ball.
Yeah. I mean, I think given seeing some of the more recent screenshots and given that, you know, Stubborn was starting to show a lot more of the actual full-body models and all that stuff, you'd see a real change in compared to previous, compared to 2K17 and that. So it's actually good to see an actual a good visual improvement, like with 2K and that. I think in a lot of ways it's the players have, and even like the faces and that, have looked kind of similar, you know, except for the element where I stated last week in terms of I kind of preferred some of the skin tone and lighting element in 2K14 as opposed to 17, and even from the early couple looks from the earlier screenshots of 2K18 in that.
Some of the comments have been that the lighting has looked a bit better in some of the recent screens, and I do think the recent screens have looked pretty good across the board. Certainly a lot of faces are looking on point, and Operation Sports are doing a great job actually of getting some comparison screenshots going. And the one they posted, I haven't, as of this podcast, I haven't actually posted a bulletin with the Gordon Hayward screenshot, but they released a Gordon Hayward screenshot 2K, and an OS did a comparison with the 2K17, and it is night and day. Like, his 2K17 face looks like absolute rubbish compared to the new one, to be totally frank. Like, they have improved that. It's possible I didn't scan his face last year because it's really on point this year, and last year it almost looked like a generically sculpted one, you know, when you can't scan your face and you just use the default sculpting tools. It was really kind of, I mean, it's him, but like this year it's really him. And you can say that of a lot of players, you know, and the comparisons that OS has been putting together really highlight that for a lot of players, but especially the Hayward one. And that has actually...
The Dwight Howard one as well had a lot of...
Yeah, like that absolutely. And I think there has been an issue, especially with some of the lighter hair colors as well, your blondes and your sort of light browns, with the hairstyle where there's been that weird lighting effect on them, and you can see that in the OS comparison in the 2K17 shot, and their hair looks a lot better. And and usually I'm not one to really pick on that, but of course, you know, being a pasty white man myself, I do have the lighter hair color when I make my player, and it has always kind of looked a little bit weird. So I'm glad to see that, and I do hope we do get some new hairstyles for our my players as well, in some different styles and colors and whatnot. So yeah, again, it's great to see, and the body models, kind of the biceps looking a bit more muscular and adult rather than those really skinny high school body models, as you said, and a lot of people have pointed that out, of course. And even the shooting forms, like Lonzo's interesting shooting form is obviously captured, as you can see in that screenshot, and Fultz as well. So obviously, you know, 2K has gone above and beyond in so many ways, in with some of the historical players, of course, with the signature animations for dribbling and shooting and whatnot. So they're obviously getting the rookies' animations and faces into the game quick smart with all these scans. They, of course, the other week they had the scanning the session with the photo, the promotional shoot and everything. So, yeah, all the screenshots are looking pretty good.
Yeah. Biggest visual upgrade for me in a little while in terms of things, in terms of, like, the body models and, player models and faces. So, there's two faces that I kind of really want to see. One is DeMarcus Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one again, damn it, it happened again where I just forget.
I want DeMarcus Cousins to record some more audio for the game. That's now the voice, some more voiceover talents there. That was just incredible.
damn it, who was the other one? I'm blank again, but I suppose DeMarcus Cousins.
Anything for team that he might have?
No, it's just.
Just gone?
Okay. Yeah, there was two that I had, and Cousins, and who's another player that have had? I suppose Dirk. I think Dirk, yeah, it was Dirk.
Yeah, which ties into what I was saying about some of the
hair and
such for lighter skinned players. Yeah, it's sort of, and those lighter colored hair styles were a bit off with some, the lighting, sort of like this weird reflective kind of effect.
Yeah, and yeah, so they're the two key ones. And I suppose, like, some of the former players, especially in the classic teams and all that stuff, I want to sort of see if they've been redone as well.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see a couple of improvements to a couple of them, just to sort of see, yeah. So I think that would be a big one for me, to sort of see what they do with those players as well. But, yeah, for me, DeMarcus Cousins hasn't quite looked right for the last... I think again, he was one of the ones that kind of looked better in 2K14 as opposed to compared to more recent years than that from memory. That's one of the main reasons. And yeah, like we stated with a Dirk's hair and even element of the face, like 2K17 was better than 2K16 in regards to Dirk, but I still think there's a lot more improvement in terms of where they could go with him
Agreed. Absolutely. We've also got some new ratings, of course, with these screenshots. They're coming through with the ratings on these first look screens. Kevin Durant, 96 overall, so makes you wonder what LeBron's going to be.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he was around the 95, 96 as well.
Steph Curry, 94, not too surprising either. The first and second overall picks, of course, Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball, both 80 overall. And in fact, that is they're the highest rated rookies in the default rosters, at least, since John Wall in 2K11, 81.
Wow. I still think potentially, I think with Lonzo, like, I think his defense is one of the bigger weaknesses. Yes, okay, he's got some potentially good court vision. His shooting might also be an element of...
wait and see kind of thing with
some when going up against proper NBA players
defense,
and that who...
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that'll be a big question mark. So I think he was probably realistically more 76, given with those two concerns with the defense and the shot. Markelle Fultz, I mean, I'm not too familiar with him, like with a lot of the players that were in this draft. Obviously, there was a lot of hype with Lonzo because he's big mouth dad and that. So,
But so, Fultz, there was hype around Fultz being, you know, the number one pick, especially.
Yeah, yeah. I knew he was a big prospect, but I mean, I didn't get to see a lot of him in terms of playing, so he didn't quite get that media coverage circus element that the Ball family did. It was harder for me to sort of gauge and sort of determine what his strengths and weaknesses are and that, whereas, you know, seen a little bit more of the Ball family and that sort of thing. So I was able to get a bit more feedback.
Rookies are hard, you know, having done the rosters for years, you know, there's a lot of guesswork and you either end up going too high or too low. I remember they mentioned that LeBron was a 78 overall in 2K4. In NBA Live 2004, LeBron was a 69 overall. that was the year that, do you remember that Live 2004 went from 50 to 99 ratings to 0 to 99?
The scale.
So a lot of overall ratings were pretty low. I think Reggie Miller was a 61 overall in the default rosters of that game.
Wow.
And he was still pretty, come 2004, like his last couple of years in the league, Reggie was still pretty good. You know, he was still
Reggie.
Yeah, but the overall ratings weren't the way they were calculated in 2004. That they were a little bit weird. So you know, you do account for that to some extent. But overall ratings are kind of ironically overrated. As such, I mean, they do have their importance as far as determining player value, which comes into play when you're talking about the player value for the franchise modes and trading players and determining value, of course. But you know, and that's the default rosters. I mean, obviously, roster updates plus roster editing in 2K is going to help us adjust any ratings itself. So, you know, I guess I'm not too worried. I guess for comparison, though, D'Angelo Russell rated 80 overall. So, if we go by 2K, the Lakers got rid of an 80 overall to bring in an 80 overall. So, fair trade for trading him out of town, I suppose. We also saw John Wall, the aforementioned John Wall, 81 in 2K11, of course, 90 overall, and he's become one of the best point guards in the league as well. So I think that's pretty on point for John Wall.
Yeah, I think a lot in regards to that is his athleticism. I think Mario, from memory, brought up why did Isaiah Thomas get a lower rating than him, even though it's sort of statistically wise, Isaiah Thomas outperform
89.
Yeah. I think it was that element of athleticism and stuff that John Wall has over Isaiah Thomas in terms of like jumping ability and potentially even quickness as well. So
it's all the Steve Nash conundrum back in the day when Steve Nash would always be rated a little bit low because he didn't have the defensive ratings or the athletic ratings that other players did, and the dunking rating was obviously not there, so it didn't boost things artificially. Then on the other end of the scale, you got a Josh Smith, for example, that has always looked a little bit overrated because of his athletic abilities in the game. So, yeah, I think that's why John Wall has been pushed the 1 point higher. But sort of as far as being in the top class of point guards and, you know, top 10 point guards in the league, I think that's pretty fair. And Gordon Hayward, of course, who we talked about before with the much improved face when you look at the preview that OS put together, as I said, 88, which is pretty good because he's become quite a decent player. Quite a good player, an all-star last season. You know, we'll see how he goes in Boston, of course. But again, with his multi-faceted game, multi-talented player right there, yeah, I think that's pretty average, pretty on point, I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other news that we got this week for 2K18, nothing again like the developer blog, which was a huge info dump last week about My League, My GM, and My League Online, but couple of points here, a couple of interviews. Daily Star spoke to Eric Benish, of course, heading up the franchise team there, among other duties, of course, on the development team, which includes our good friend Leftos. Hello, Leftos. And he talked a little to Daily Star about some of the improvements to MyGM. Of course, the developer blog went into great detail, but just a couple of things that caught my eye, because it's sort of a standard interview, nothing too juicy that wasn't already said, but did describe the MyGM story as a, quote, light-hearted jaunt. So we're not going to get some kind of heavy story. It's not going to be Living to Dream, Ben. It's not going to be there's no Vic. There's no friend of Freak dying tragically at the end of the story, which I think is for the best. You know, we don't necessarily need that in a basketball game, because even dark stories can come across as corny when done badly, or within the E10 rating sometimes can't go as dark as you want, and it ends up coming across as a bit corny. So I think a lighthearted story, I think that's a good way to go with it.
Yeah, and again, you know, just as long as it's not absolutely corny and allows us real branching in terms of, you know, still us having no control in terms of how the story, what the story outcome and all that stuff is. So fingers crossed with that. But
apparently we're going to have to choose sides at some point. So there will be some drama. There will be a complication. And every narrative needs a complication. So that's fair. Yeah. But maybe siding with the players against the owner, maybe? Something like that.
CBA agreement. Yeah, when the new contracts come in, it's like, do you side with the players or do you side with the owners?
Do you pen a letter in Comic Sans if one of your players leaves? Or, like, is that a decision you have to make? You know, which side you have to take? The side of maturity or immaturity? Or, you know?
Do you side with Kobe, with LeBron, or do you side with Kyrie?
Yeah, I mean, are you going to be like Coach Brubaker in my career, where you just follow the my player around wherever he goes? He just goes to the new team. You're just going to go with the player wherever they go. I mean, it could be a decision to make. The other thing he mentions is that the story is going to continue every few games, so they're not going to be overwhelmed with narrative, heavy narrative decisions and cutscenes every single game. So I guess kind of like they handled my career in 2K17. So it sounds like a pretty good approach to my GM, this new story-driven my GM mode.
Yeah, you know, hopefully it's like every 10 games this scenario happens, every like cutscene or scenario story, part of the story.
Some branching,
You know, it seemed to be very meticulous in terms of 10 games, say in regards to something regarding sponsorship, 10 games regarding meeting other players kind of thing, 10 games.
Justice Young being in the trade block and everything, yeah.
So it sort of
hits it at the same time. I mean, we're probably going to see something like that, but it'll be different to play through, and I think this really distinguishes MyGM from MyLeague now. You know, MyGM was always more the RPG-driven mode, but now giving it the story just like they did with my career and separating it. And, of course, it makes me once again say, well, hey, let's see that with my career as well. Like, have that MyLeague-type experience where you can skip the story with the career mode and jump straight into it. And I'd like to, if you can do that, if you can jump straight into MyLeague, into a my career without a story, I'd like to be able to select from all the colleges, because, you know, obviously you wouldn't have to go through the college storyline then. Because I miss, you know, being a Tar Heel fan, as you are too. I miss being able to make my player from North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, I chose Michigan and Georgetown the previous 2 years, and I
went to Illinois just for the Bulls connection.
I really want to see the Tar Heels, obviously. That's for me, my obviously number one choice in that. So I'm hoping, that there's a couple more college options.
And they're limited with as far as the story, because they can only license certain ones for the story.
Yeah.
So again, if you can have the my story and my career just the same way you have my GM and my league, to throw out a couple of names there, you know, a trademark. pay me some VC for that one. I would love to see that approach adopted by the career mode as well as being done by the franchise mode. And of course, Eric said that, you know, they're committed to having that franchise experience, which is fantastic. I'd love to see Live put more effort into Dynasty, as I've said last week. But it was a pretty solid interview in that respect. The other one, I don't know if you got a chance to listen to Dave DeFore. He does a podcast on the NBA with Dave DeFore. He actually got to talk to Chris Manning, LD2K, a little bit.
Okay.
And couldn't really go into a lot of detail. I mean, obviously, he's the community manager and not a developer. You know, he's there working, you know, in the office, so he does know a thing or two. Couldn't answer a lot of questions. First of all, you know, not being a developer or an engineer, and also, you know, hands tied it to a certain extent by what he's allowed to talk about at the moment. Did say that defense was going to be a big point of emphasis on the gameplay improvements this year, so that's a really good sign.
Fingers crossed. I mean, it's one of the things we've a little bit about in previous years. So, yeah. Yeah, really a wait-and-see element for that for me, just as personally. Just
Definitely, but encouraging, obviously. My player archetypes are going to be receiving some attention, expansion. Very important. We know we've talked about how they're kind of limiting, and they went to eliminate cheese, but that kind of didn't really work out as well as they liked. And
created more cheese and potentially
created some other problems. Good idea, but the execution could be a little bit better. Sounds like that's being worked on. Thumbs up again. And also, I didn't squash a rumor directly, but I did see a rumor posted in our forum about my park being cut from the game, which I raised my eyebrows when I saw that, because I thought there's no way that they're going to get rid of my park, because it is
the cash cow.
Yeah, and as LG2K himself noted on the podcast when talking about my park, that it is actually the most popular online mode in 2K. So I thought if anything they might revamp it, and we'll hear about that, I guess, in the coming weeks, whatever's happening with my park. But he mentioned my park being in the game, so just in case anyone hears that rumor about my park being cut, as unlikely as it may seem, obviously, no, it's not going to happen. So, for what it's worth, we also got that rumor squashed indirectly, I suppose. And confirmation that it is actually the most popular mode. I mean, 2K Pro-Am is obviously pretty popular, and we like it. And esports league is being made out of it. But my park is actually the most popular online mode.
That's a kind of a surprise in a lot of ways, but I suppose, in a way, not. We've played it. We've had some okay, enjoyable moments. We've also had moments where we haven't enjoyed it. So, I mean, and
our players aren't really built for the park, I guess. They're built for Pro-Am, and especially my career more so than anything else. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's the fact that we haven't really tailored our play for my park. Although I think our gear looks pretty sweet these days.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, we actually match with our black outfits, black hoodie, and my black Jordan brand T-shirt. We sort of do look like
wearing a jacket. It's like a partially zipped up jacket.
Is that what it is? I thought it was like a zipped up hoodie kind of thing. But it's,
not a hoodie.
Just a jacket. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the sort of training sort of shooting around.
Oh,
jacket.
Okay. Yeah, so we actually kind of look kind of match. And I think sometimes. We got on there with ZZ Cool J, and he had black on as well, so we kind of matched.
That happened on the week. Yeah, so it made it easy to recognize.
We looked like a squad for once, you know. So that's, well, we're gonna have to do the same for live Pro-Am as well live team. We're gonna have to get some. It's just a shame we can't do the NLSC gear, I guess, for that.
That'll be fun to have.
Imagine if we could take NLSC gear into the park. That'd be great. Yeah, like if we could. Like, you know, even if it was something you had to unlock or pay a lot of VC for, because I'm always left over with some VC. So if we could wear our Pro-Am jerseys into the, you know, if you're on a Pro-Am squad, being able to wear the Pro-Am jersey and squad up, like, that'd be really cool, I reckon. For the park, you know. Instead of being like that guy who went there dressed as Jordan, as Michael Jordan, we go there dressed as ourselves from Pro-Am. That'd be pretty cool.
Especially with actual jerseys that are actually getting made. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Which you can check out in the forum, of course, and on Twitter we've been promoting that. Or even just the team that you're with in my career, if you could wear that jersey into the into my park, which I don't think you can do yet. Can you do that? I know you can obviously buy like I'm on the Bulls at the moment, so I can buy a jersey and walk in to the park.
Not 100% sure.
If you unlock your high school jersey, you can wear that. That's an unlockable reward. If you the Knights jersey, Lower Valley Knights, the high school team in the story.
Oh, I can't remember, to be honest.
I want to say it is, but you can actually unlock that in the story and then wear. That's my park gear that you can wear actually. That's for if you complete the Mitchell and Ness. I think that's you unlock that.
All right,
but you don't actually have your NBA jersey. So anyway, that'd be some. Stuff for Park, obviously. So a little bit of information on 2K18 this week. Nothing as earth-shattering as last week, obviously, but again, it's nice just to see that kind of steady trickle of information, Ben. As we said, you know, I wrote the article and then the next day the screenshots came out, so taking credit for it. obviously. You know, why not claim it? But yeah, it's great that we haven't had to wait till late August to get a really big hit of information, and that once that first information came out, that it hasn't been gone quiet and quiet again. You know, no more radio silence. Hopefully, the rest of the way. You know, demo coming out next week for Live 18, and more news for both games, presumably. So it's we're finally getting a preview season. It's nice, especially yes. since the especially since the NBA off season is kind of quiet. You know, this all those transactions are done, so we have nothing to talk about there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was really like the first 4 days to like a week there was something to sort of talk about in regards to that, but now it's like, give us something.
Nothing really going on there, but yeah. Well, a couple of things which we'll get to later on, but obviously our core content is basketball video games, NBA Live and NBA 2K in particular, so yeah, it's nice to have that. Before we wrap up, and well, actually before we get on to, wrap up the news I should say, we can get on to some stories from the past week. A couple more news items to talk about. This one, Ben, is controversial. That will have some post-production sound effects by the time you're all listening to that, ladies and gentlemen. But controversial news, Ben. NBA Playgrounds, of course, Saber Interactive, a game that we've played a fair bit and had some fun with, obviously, and I've pretty much done all I can in the offline stuff at the moment. And that's quite relevant, actually, because they've just released an add-on for $9.99 US to unlock every player in the game. Not just every player currently, but every player that's added for free in later updates for the game. So if you want to just unlock everyone right now, you can pay $9.99. Now, this is something that a lot of people have asked for. And Matthew Karch, in an interview, actually acknowledged that and said, even though he's not a big fan of this kind of mechanic, because there has been such a vocal requests for it from fans that they were looking into doing it. They have done it. Predictably, some people are really not happy about it. some people are saying the game is ruined. You know, the whole "ruin forever" on the internet. You know, that's the way it goes online. But some people are saying that the game is ruined. They're not going to support it. It's terrible. Yeah, and so I have my thoughts on it. I shared some in the news post that I posted when I talked about the unlock and announced it on in our bulletins now. Front page news. What's your take on a mechanic like this? To unlock $10 to unlock every player in the game, like over 200 players at this point.
I guess you know it's theirs for those who do want it, and those you know it's not something you have to buy it. It's not going to break the game if you don't have it. So you know, I don't see it too negatively in that. I mean. Yeah, I think it's just...
It's not extra content. You're not getting anything extra, or you're not missing out on content if you don't buy it, sort of thing. It's not like the college team's DLC for 2K17, for example. You know, It's not that. I can see people who have put in the hard yards to grind for packs and get all the players being a bit upset, and certainly for online balance, because obviously people are going to unlock the best plays straight away and just level them up and then take them online. But as it is, it, from the sounds of it, a lot of people are just using Shaq and Curry online anyway. So, you know, I mean, there's already problems with balance online. Obviously, this is controversial. And obviously, you know, microtransactions, DLC, I understand where people are coming from. But the big thing about NBA Playgrounds is that its weakness, its primary weakness, is a lack of offline content. So if you're not a big online gamer, in general or in NBA Playgrounds, it's harder once you've finished all the tournaments to get enough XP without really just playing, and Tico Istikori outlined this method, as other people have on YouTube, where you basically have a play now game, an exhibition game, and you do first to 10, and you just have all these quick games just over and over and over again just to level up as quickly as possible. And that gets kind of old, because once you replay the tournaments don't change, you don't get as much XP for replaying them. You know, there's just not enough offline content to really earn the XP once you've played through all the tournaments. So it kind of makes something like this a necessary evil just to get all the players unlocked. So I guess the best case scenario would be adding more offline content, which I absolutely think NBA Playgrounds needs to do. But at the same time, in lieu of that, and at least for the meantime, if you are willing to spend some $10, you know, spend $10 just to get, I haven't checked what it's going to be in Australian dollars is probably going to be marked up like 15 or something, I'd say. Wouldn't surprise me. but so then you pay that and you get all the players unlocked, which incidentally used to be how it was back in the day. You know, you'd get all the players, well, most of the players, you know, the secret players or such you may have to unlock and everything, including it on Fire Edition and Jam. But I understand the objections to it and the controversial aspect of it. But as I said in my bulletin, if you're chiefly an online gamer, it's a massive grind to try and earn the packs once you've completed the tournaments. So it's understandable. And the bottom line is, you know, people saying, you know, oh, you've added microtransactions and you've said what you wouldn't want to do. People were asking for this. You know, it's not like they've sat back and greedily been waiting for people to get hooked on the game and then sprung microtransactions on people. They've said that we didn't want to do it. We can't rule it out. But, you know, if the demand is there, the demand was there. They answered the demand. I mean, whatever way they went on this, someone was going to be upset, or one portion of the fan base, I should say, was going to be upset with the way they went. Either people were going to be upset that they did offer the unlock, or people were going to be upset that they didn't offer the unlock and they're just the grind like hell to actually get the players. So I think they decided, well, a lot of people are asking for it. Let's give it to them, because if you don't want it, you can ignore it.
Yeah, you know, it's, you're not going to be able to please everyone.
No.
I think, too, like, in regards to, you know, NBA Playgrounds wasn't an expensive game. So, you know, it's put a little couple more bucks into it. It's not too bad. It's not like, say, for instance, like you bought the Gold Legend edition of 2K18 and stuff, and then you buy more additional VC and stuff like that. You know, saying, you know, you're spending potentially like $200 or something like that, Australian.
Definitely, you know, yeah.
You know, it's not so bad in terms of the amount of expense in it. So like $30, potentially another 15 is 45, still cheaper than a normal traditional retail game in that sort of sense alone, given that it's normally about 60, $70, sometimes 80 to 90.
80, 90, yeah.
Is the retail here in terms of that. So, hey, like we stated, you know, it's there for those who do want it, and it's not game breaking or anything. You're not missing out entirely on everything. If you don't buy, you're not getting disadvantaged to a degree. You know, if you want to do it the grind way, you know, I suppose what they might consider like the honest way of like grinding it out and trying to get the packs.
The legitimate way, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. So kind of spoiled in the gripe element in terms of that. But like I said, you're not going to be able to please everyone. And given that, you know, they stated that they originally didn't want to do it unless, again, enough demand was there. So they can't. People shouldn't really argue the fact that the demand, you know, there was enough demand for it in this case. So, you know, it's demand and supply in that sort of thing.
It comes down to, we all say, oh, well, I didn't want it, therefore it shouldn't be. You know,
yeah.
I don't like this TV show, so it shouldn't be broadcast. You know, only the things that I like should be made. I'm like, nah, come on, that's childish and selfish. So, yeah, I think that's, I understand the point of view and the possible gripes with the online balance of everyone being able to play that, but it sounds like everyone's kind of going towards the same kind of the same few players that are the most effective anyway, so, you know, it's already a problem. This doesn't create a problem in that respect. It may exacerbate it to some extent, but bottom line, people asked for it, and they thought about it and said the demand was there. They delivered, and I think, given the lack of offline content, it makes sense. You know, I can't fault them for doing that. But I do hope the more offline content is added, because I do think the game needs it.
Yeah, you know, again, the game is relatively new, so it's still finding its feet in that. So, and you know, given that this game seems to be like a bit of a service, and that they've still got a lot of players and stuff that they want to add,
which they've added a lot of content for free already.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like the game Drive Club. You know, yes, they had a rocky start when it came out, but its post-release support was absolutely phenomenal. Its season pass was amazing in terms of the content that you got from it. So, yeah, I think if it's anything like that, in terms of comparison in that. I think people will be happy with the end result in a lot of ways. So, yeah, I think if people look at that Drive Club scenario, I think they'll get a bit of understanding and sort of maybe tone down their rhetoric.
Yeah. I guess the other thing is they did mention, you know, that it's going to unlock players that are already in the game, all the players, plus any players that come through for free. I guess you look at that and maybe cynically wonder, okay, are there going to be players that come through who aren't free? I don't know. You know, that hasn't been confirmed yet. I guess they're just covering their bases in that respect. But the fact that it's not just going to unlock who's in the game now, but who is in the game going to be added to the game in the future, you can really get your money's worth from it. So I think they've approached it a very good way. And I still think that NBA Playgrounds, even though I wouldn't rank it above any of my favorite jam games or street games, it has become a very solid game, that one that I would probably recommend at this point to check out. And certainly if you've got the game, to support it. I don't think Saber has completely erased their goodwill at all.
No, I don't think so either. You know, they're trying to cater to everyone in terms of everything in terms of that. So yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, like you say, you can't please everyone. So
yeah.
But, hopefully it'll all blow over and they'll people will continue to support a game that's got a lot of potential still.
Yeah, for sure.
So as we wrap up this week's news, just wanted to mention something that you brought to my attention this week. I missed this one, but it's DualShock has posted this bulletin here. NBA 2K17 has shipped 8.5 million units. And it's actually Take-Two's highest-selling sports title ever. So obviously, 2K has done some fantastic numbers since really dominating the market after Live's, you know, the cancellation of NBA Elite 11 and Live's struggles as it's tried to rebuild, and 2K just going to new heights with all the things that it's done. Yeah, it's considering that basketball gaming is a niche within a niche itself. You know, sports gaming is a niche, and then basketball gaming is a niche within a niche. And then PC basketball gaming is a niche within a niche within a niche. But it's cool to see big numbers like that for 2K17. You know, obviously games like GTA and Fallout sell so much, but having such a wider appeal to everyone. I mean, there's probably more crossover of people who play basketball games that also like Fallout and GTA than necessarily people who within the GTA who also like basketball games. So, but to get that, it's obviously a big achievement for 2K, and it just goes to show their dominance of the brand and the market.
Yeah, and you know, I'm trying to remember how many copies 2K16 did in that. I think it was close to around the 8 million. So, yeah,
because 2K11 was the first to break 5 million, and then it's kind of steadily risen. But this is obviously the highest, so you know it's hats off to Visual Concepts and our friends there.
Yeah, you know, putting in hard work, and then you got to take into account the extra revenue from VC and all that stuff for my park and my team and my career and IGM and all that stuff. So yeah, they'd be essentially rolling in the cash, like pretty much like GTA is in terms of, you know, with all their shot card purchases and stuff like that. So
it does actually mention, it says the game has also been driving recurrent consumer spending, exceeding the company's expectations during the quarter between April 1st and June 30th, 2017, growing 64% year on year. So a lot of people are putting extra money into the game, no question. And I guess we're guilty of that a couple of times. But I actually... On a related note, sort of, I recently got the season pass and a couple of DLC items for WWE 2K17. So, as you know, when you add funds to the PlayStation wallet, it has to come in lots of 10 if you go for less. So, yep. I actually have some left over in my wallet, enough for some VC. So, I might even buy some more VC and get a couple more packs before the game is over, because I do have the money sitting in my wallet at the moment. So, you know, you talk about the microtransactions in NBA Playgrounds, you know, just one soft one lock everything. Look at all the money that people are putting into 2K, you know, for all the content. I mean, it's, we can try and fight it as much as we can, but it is they are finding ways to give incentive to have these microtransactions in AAA titles and DLC, of course. And I have no problem with DLC if it's quality DLC, you know. And that's why I was glad I got the college DLC on sale, because it's okay, but it really should have been in the default game. It's, you know, it, there's no extra mode or anything. It's not like the Legend Showcase in 2K12, which is no longer available, unfortunately, because I would have checked it out with my copy of 2K12 on 360 that I have now. But yeah, it's obviously, you know, incredibly successful to be the, you know, that brand leader. But in basketball gaming and 8.5 million units, yeah, you know, we could see, you know, between the two games next year, it could be 10. You know, it's we could see a lot of basketball games, and that, of course, NBA Playgrounds I think has sold 500,000 already since May.
That's pretty good,
which is really good too. So yeah, I mean, basketball gaming, it's
and given that's more of a niche game and again inside a niche market in terms of things, so it's the inception of
we sometimes forget of because of how passionate we are about basketball games, and certainly the PC version as well, about the numbers and everything. But yeah, it's doing some pretty good numbers these days with basketball games, and it's I guess why we plan to be around for a while with the NLSCs, because basketball gaming is not going anywhere. It seems to be getting better with the, you know, hopefully two really good games this year from the sim point of view, and also a new arcade game. Love to see a jam game or a street game come back as well. So yeah, the future could be bright with basketball gaming, as we've said. So good for us as content creators and fans of the genre.
Oh, for sure.
So that about wraps up this week's collection of news for basketball gaming, spanning NBA Live, NBA 2K, and NBA Playgrounds, of course. Kind of another full week of news, Ben.
Yeah, and, you know, good things, I'm sure, will come in the coming weeks and that. So looking forward to seeing what else we'll get to learn about both games this year.
Absolutely. But from the news, it's time to talk about our experiences in a segment that we call Our Week in Basketball Gaming.
Alley-oop! Oh, what a play!
It looks simple, but it's hard to execute.
For people who aren't online gamers, as we've described ourselves in the past podcast, Ben, we play a lot of online gaming for basketball, actually. It's getting to the point where we probably can't give ourselves that label anymore, because that is primarily what we have been doing. You know, we talk about, oh, we're not going to go to my park this week, and of course we just
put 5 minutes later,
throw in our gear and head to the park, to the Sunset Beach Ballers park there. And, of course, 2K Pro-Am as well. Had a couple of sessions last week of 2K Pro-Am and went to the park on the night as well. Friday's not usually a good night for us, have you noticed?
Yeah, I've realized that as well. I think the previous week as well, Friday was pretty bad. And then Saturday, we sort of do really a lot better.
And I do wonder about the timing, you know, because I've noticed this playing Rocket League with my friend as well, that some nights, you know, all the good players are on, and other nights, you know, it's some of the players that are more our speed are on, you know, like the real pros and the real great online gamers are on some nights, and other times it's not. So you kind of pick and choose, and sometimes you have a better run than other times. Also depends whether you're playing ranked games in Rocket League, of course. Almost said my league then, because my Rocket League. So as you said, Saturday turned out to be better both weeks, and we covered that last week. We had the great double overtime game, which I put together the little highlight package, as you saw, for this week's Monday tip-off, the cut of that. Hope people enjoyed that. You can go back and check that out in the Monday tip-off. I think it's ran about 6 minutes or so of Some clips, and other times I just left a little bit more context in. I'm still working out editing stuff like that, and hope people enjoyed the basic context of that and the clutch shots that we hit. Did you like my sound effects, Ben, that I put in for the?
Hilarious little sound effects, especially the first time. I wasn't expecting it, and it was like, hey, nice. So, yeah, good little touch there.
That's from the Super Nintendo version of NBA Jam at the buzzer, and it's good. That's Tim Kitzrow, of course, and then adding the boom shakalaka and such, and the I added the kaboom on one of your Pippin dunks, which I liked. Of course, we stuffed up in the first the end of the first overtime, so I added the crowd booing. So that was, of course, the previous week, which we touched on in last week's podcast, and we played the Friday night and the Saturday night. Had a bit of a better run on the Saturday night, as we said a moment ago. I think we finished on a real high in that one. I'm just looking at the stats here, and I sent the screenshot through to you as well. So you had 28 and 9 and 5 blocks 11 of 18 shooting, so that was a pretty good game for you.
Yeah.
ZZ had the 30 points. He was actually, you know, the best shooter on the team, and it was actually letting him hit some shots. So that was refreshing.
Unlike the Friday.
Leo getting screwed on a few of those. I finished with 21 points and 21 assists in that game and three steals. I was disappointed I couldn't get a rebound. I couldn't get the full stat line because I also got a block. As we were talking about before we started recording, what I like about that game is just how much I outplayed the other playmaker point guard. It ended up with... he did get a rebound. You know, that's a shame that he got that rebound. Cause
he beat you there.
he did beat me there, quite literally probably, to get to that rebound. He beat me for it. Six points, five assists, and seven turnovers. I had five turnovers. A couple of them were kind of BS, as a lot of them are, unfortunately, with the AI interceptions and whatnot. But... I do take pride because a lot of point guards are kind of tough to guard online because a lot of them are sharpshooters, or you get a slasher and they just take it in and dunk from the dotted line, and it's hard to sort of do it. I do have decent athletic ratings, but they're not maxed out at all for me, so sometimes I'm a bit flat-footed trying to keep up with them. But to hold him to 2 of 12 shooting, I was happy with that. I was happy with that effort.
Yeah, you know, you shut him down like James Harden did in his last game in the playoffs and that. So.
Yep. But that was a pretty solid effort right there. Just taking a look to see if we had some other statistics. Is that... that was 83-58 we won that game. So that was a big one. The other moment we had... I had another game... that's the same game. That's just earlier on. Just thought they might be quitting. let me just see some of the other stats here.
Did we have a team quit on us on Saturday?
We did because and it was just after I went up for the dunk and he blocked it and fouled me and the ball went in. So it didn't count as a block because it counted as a dunk in the grading logic because it actually went in. So it negated the block penalty with slam dunk bonus and. And I made it, and I got the video of it rolling off off his hand and into the basket. Anyway. And so it was going to be a 3-point play, and I had that was going to be my 15th point, obviously, if I'd made the free throw, which I make a lot of them, so I guess I probably would have. And I had the double-double, 14 and 10 at that point, but I wanted a couple more assists. I'm trying to boost my assists up before we wrap up 2K Pro-Am this year. But yeah, they just all started quitting, like, oh, come on, it was still a bit more in the fourth. It was in the third quarter they did that. So there's still time for us to pad our stats. So we were disappointed. I'm hitting threes. I'm going to say it's, some people might say it's J.R. Smith's shooting form. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say it's the headband. Because remember, I did J.R. Smith miss more, and I was still missing threes, but I've added the headband, and now I went 2.5 games without missing a single three.
It's the headband cheese.
It's clearly the headband cheese, People have mentioned that if you shoot lefty in the game, apparently that's an easier release, and a lot of people you see a lot of people online with left-handed releases, and apparently there's some cheese there as well.
Okay.
But we may have found a new exploit, and it is the headband. So, I'm paying tribute to Cliff Robinson, the original, not the original headband wearer in the NBA, but certainly in the 90s he was the one who always had the headband, Cliff Robinson, Uncle Cliffy. So, yeah, and I'm just taking a look at some of the other performances, 19-9, and you at 18-4-4. We won a game when all of us were shooting 50%. I was 8 of 16. That was the best. You were 8 of 22, and Zizi was 6 of 15. But we actually won. But our AI bigs actually had 12 and 13 rebounds in that one. So they were doing things.
Yeah,
actually, one AI player. This is the game we won. Who did we beat? I think that was the one we beat Real Tings. Actually. AI player had 9 points and 13 rebounds. AI player almost had a double-double. That's unheard of.
He almost got player of the game in that sort of sense, so he would have got that VC reward.
He had two steals as well. He would have had that. So, but we did beat that team. I think we were 4-2. Thinking back on it, I should have written it down, but I think we were at least 4-2. So a pretty good session. We played pretty late with ZZ on the Saturday night. Worked out a little bit better. And then we went to my park, had a couple of decent ones. My favorite memory there was dunking on the glass cleaner.
Yeah.
unfortunately, we blew that game, though, I think.
Yeah, I think we did. we just had it, and then we just kind of got screwed on one or two plays, and then we just couldn't finish it. And so that was disappointing how that ended in that. But yeah, we really should have won that one.
I think we stuffed up because we had the, you know, we were at match point, I guess, to borrow from tennis. You know, we were up 20-10 or something, and we stuffed up the that last play. You know, I think there was we turned it over, I believe, or at least missed a shot. I think it was a turnover from memory, and then just couldn't stop the glass cleaner. It was just getting all those cheesy dunks,
yeah,
and such, and then yeah, unfortunately. Blew that game, which was disappointing. Maybe not as disappointing as the previous week when it was when we had the 4-game winning streak and almost got that trophy, and then and then we blew that one. That was tough. That the 5 straight, but pretty good run. And it's kind of fun to end up in my park, I think, after a few pro-am games.
Yeah, especially when we're having moments where there's really no teams that seem to be online. So in pro-am and that, so.
More fun when there's no mascot costumes. I'll throw it out there. So, saw someone skateboarding in the park last week. So someone was pretty high up on that. But not a bad run for our online stuff. But offline, I played a couple of games of Playgrounds, I guess, still trying to grind up for packs. Pushing me ever closer to paying that $10 now that I can, I suppose. did a bit of streaming, of course, and you're playing with your fantasy Heat team.
Yeah, just a couple more games. From memory, it was the Lakers, and I'm trying to remember if it was Houston. I can't remember.
You didn't end up playing the 2005 Suns?
No. Damn it.
That's what you have to do next time. I'm going to break out the Suns.
I might do that on this weekend if I get the opportunity, so yeah.
And haven't added anyone else. I guess there's no one else to add at this point to the...
No, I can't add who I wanted to in that, but, you know, adding Penny was still a pretty big thing. So, I'm pretty happy with the roster. Have I gone through the players that I've had?
Go through it again, because obviously you've got Shaq and Wade.
Actually, I haven't got Shaq. I haven't put Shaq.
There you go. You can...
I could do that. I've got...
Because Shaq would be on the 2006 Heat, who are in the game as well.
Yeah.
You could even get the year-appropriate Shaq for there, I suppose.
Yeah. I think, from memory, I've got one of the younger ways. I think it was the 2006 or the Heat. The Heat teams after that, that they've got in the game. So not the current this year's Wade and that. I've got myself in there. I've got Eddie Jones, Ray Allen, Tim Hardaway, Penny Hardaway, Whiteside, Bosch, Alonzo Mourning. Who else have I got in there? I've got Dragic still. I've got...
Did you say you got Ray Allen?
Yeah. I said him third or fourth.
Yep.
Or fourth it would have been, I said him. I've got Dion Waiters still. Gary Payton. I think that's it.
As you said, yeah.
Yep. So just a bit of fun team and that just to sort of run around with.
And that's a very old school thing. Like, I'm thinking I'm going to have to copy you here and do something with the Bulls with that, just a few exhibition games, because it's one of those things we used to do way back in the day, just customize the rosters and have some fun like that. And ever since we sort of went as gamers, I do like that we go for the authentic experience now, that both the developers and us as gamers, but just having some fun like that, you know, it's, as you've said, you know, you're obviously having a lot of fun with it, and it's something we used to do back in the 90s with games like that, and it's, I guess, kind of gone out of fashion with all the modes we have. We don't really create our own fun like that anymore.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking. I did bump the difficulty up to. I think it's All Star. I think it's one after Pro.
Yep.
But you know, since the team is pretty strong, considering bumping it up another level harder, just to sort of make it, you know, that element of challenge in that.
Yep.
really starting to actually get really good with hitting threes with Eddie Jones. I think that jump shot might work for me in terms of my player slash pro-am.
Might be the way to go, yeah.
Yeah. I've hit a couple of threes with Zoe, which is, yeah. I think I've hit two now in the last 2 weeks, isn't that, with him? And I think when I hit the second one, it was like, oh, let's just sort of see if it can happen again. And it did. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So not a bad 3-point shooter if we're given the couple of attempts that I've had with him. So, yeah. Trying to think what else. But no, it's sort of fun. Like a couple of the, like, I think one of the games, it was sort of close for a little bit, like in the, particularly like earlier the first half. And it just sort of, the second half just sort of blew it away, like, and got a really big lead. So yeah, I think I might bump up the difficulty in that, or whether I extend the quarter length just to sort of make it a little bit more interesting. And you know, if I bump up the quarter length, you know, it's that sort of concentration factor, you know.
Definitely, yeah.
So attention span, sort of concentration level. So
see if you can really. Build up, you know, some stats, yeah. Some stats, yeah. like we do in Pro-Am.
Yeah, and, you know, to give a couple of players a bit more minutes here and there sort of thing, just to sort of make it a little bit more sim in that aspect in that. So, but no, it's pretty fun. I think I captured a couple of big plays in that. I've got to go through the video and sort of upload them in that as well. So I know I captured a couple of big plays. But I think with the Twitch stream as well, I think I've managed to set it so that way, you know, it saves the sessions and that. So there'll be, you know, there'll be a way to sort of catch up with. I've had one or two people or a couple of people watch and that. Not so much this past stream and that. I had some music playing in the background from my laptop and that, so I don't know if that distracted people. Like, maybe the choice of music that I was playing wasn't to their attention and that, so, or to their liking,
which seems to be kind of standard for the 2K soundtrack these days, judging by what some of the people say about it. But no, it's a really cool idea. Like, I'm thinking I'm going to have to do something with that. Just mess around, you know, as we enter, I guess, the final weeks of 2K17 gaming, maybe. You know, as we wait for the new games to come out, maybe doing something like the same with the Bulls, or maybe trying to recreate some of my. Bulls franchise, like my old franchise rosters, like that'd be kind of cool as well. I think, you know, when I had KG on the Bulls back in the day, you know, trying to get something that, it just depends how many players I can get who were in the game, I suppose.
Yeah,
but you know, just having some exhibition stuff, like they don't have to organize it and do a My League. I know you were looking at doing that, but even just playing some exhibition games and messing around with some fun custom teams like that, customized teams, I should say, not actual custom teams. Yeah, it's like I say, it's kind of an old school thing that we used to do, I suppose, back in the day, and we've been distracted. Obviously, they have these great modes to sink our, you know, hours and hours into, but to actually, yeah, do that, that's a fun idea. I think we should all give that a go. And I know that the D4-3 with his mods for the classic teams mods in particular for 2K17 PC, he's been doing a lot of games like that. He was doing a My League story as well with it, but even just having some fun games. You know, for example, you know, the what did he have the other day? I think it was the 2005 or 2006 Heat versus the Nets at the same time period.
Oh yeah.
So again, yeah, he's doing some great stuff with that. You can check that out on his channel as well. He's posted the videos in the NBA 2K17 section of the forum. Give him a look, and of course, if you're on PC, check out the mods for 2K17 that he and others have made. You know, you can check out D4-3's thread for that. So yeah, just doing some fantasy stuff like that. It's a fun idea, as you can attest.
Yeah, you know, you want to see how well the team, I suppose, gels together in terms of things just that sort of question of what if kind of thing. Like,
yeah, definitely. You know,
what if these guys, especially given that a lot of the players in that sort of era were, you know, they were sort of around the same time in that, so. Yeah, it was sort of like an element of the past, future, and present, and all that stuff combined. So, yeah, really enjoying it just for a bit of laid back fun in that sort of sense while playing it, just getting that extra bit of mileage out of the game. So
definitely, no, I'll have to give it a try. Sounds cool. We're going to wrap up with a topic that we joke about a bit, when, especially being Australian, as you can probably tell from our accents, obviously. But it's been announced that a few NBL teams are going to be going over to the States to square off with some NBA teams in the preseason. And for our local league, the NBL, the National Basketball League, of course, is that's quite a big deal. I mean, we obviously would love to have NBA teams over here, especially, you know, like the when they have the games in London or Tokyo and other and Paris and other regular season games playing in international venues. We'd love to get NBA games over here. NBA games that count, you know, played internationally, you know, in Sydney and Brisbane, where you and I can obviously easily access those games,
yep.
and Melbourne and Perth and et cetera. But yeah, they're actually going over, and that is, of course, the Sydney Kings and Melbourne United. Should still be the Melbourne Tigers. I still think that's silly.
Yeah. Melbourne United sounds so soccerish.
And your Brisbane Bullets, in fact, going yes. over to play the Utah Jazz, Oklahoma City Thunder, and Phoenix Suns, respectively. Definitely a great move for the NBL, and cool to see. You know, a lot of people have been wondering why the aforementioned Perth team, the Wildcats, they're the two-time reigning champions, why they're not going over. Apparently, they declined, and yet are still complaining about it. So I have no idea what's going on, you know, as far as that logic is concerned. But hey, the point is we're getting some NBL squads over there to take on the NBA for some preseason action. It's really cool to see, and I hope it gets shown on free to air here as well, you know, and gets a bit
of coverage. That's what I'm hoping. I know Fox Sports are getting it. Obviously, that was part of the whole sort of thing, but yeah, we'd really like to see one of the free to air channels pick it up. It is a big opportunity, a big marketing opportunity, in that sort of thing. Really happy, especially given my Bullets, you know, who only just came back into the league last year. Getting this opportunity, and yeah, kind of laughing at the whole sort of Perth situation, given, you know, especially with that news article saying that they're the best team on the planet, sort of thing. You know, it's like, yeah, well, you're not good enough for this at this stage, kind of thing. Just to sort of rub the salt in.
Which community manager wrote that for them? I mean, that sounds awfully familiar. But.
Yeah. So yeah, it's sort of laughable and that sort of thing, but yeah, also in regards to the Bullets and stuff, the Denver Nuggets actually signed one of our major players, Torrey Craig, in that. So we've had to look elsewhere in that sort of sense. And we actually just got a new signing to his replacement and stuff that was announced yesterday. So sad to see Torrey go, because he's a really good player and he was entertaining to watch. But given that, you know, it's an opportunity in the NBA, so can't knock that back. So
definitely, definitely. Not a Ben Pepper situation where he stays in Newcastle at the time.
Yeah.
And I'd still love to see Newcastle get a team back, especially since the league actually started here in the late 70s. It's a shame we haven't been able to get the funding to get that. I mean, it sort of all goes to the Knights, and they have not really been... they've had trouble keeping sponsors with the way they've been playing, actually.
Yeah.
Nowhere near the quality of your Broncos either. That is the...
especially given that the Broncos had a $16 million... new deals, $16 million announced in new partnerships and deals and sponsors and that at the beginning of the season. So
That is the Brisbane Broncos, not the Denver Broncos in this case. Yep. Still a football team, but
yep.
just
different coats.
Different.
One wears padding like pansies, and the others take it like a man.
So yeah, it's great to see the NBL getting. Making some good strides there, obviously. Again, I'd love to see it come back to my hometown of Newcastle so that I can go to some games or at least have some exhibition games here or something. But, yeah, hats off to Larry Kestelman, the executive chairman of the NBL, for organizing that, putting it all together and making it happen with that partnership with the NBA. And, again, hopefully we can get some NBA games over here, either preseason or even just a regular season game.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that he mentioned during the announcement and stuff was, you know, this arrangement and the negotiations and that actually started before he purchased the league, in a sense, because he became the majority owner of the league and that to reestablish it and rebuild it and that. And so, you know, the fact that he's done all that with you know, that within the couple of years that he's, you know, from purchasing the league was really cool, that he was thinking ahead. I think this guy has been doing some really good stuff in getting the league back to where it should be. And
definitely.
That, so,
it was big in the 90s because, you know, we had we obviously had the Jordan era in the 90s with the Bulls and everything, and the NBA being red hot in the 90s. But we also had our own domestic league was doing pretty well too. So, you know, it was a great time for basketball in that respect, that we had both the, you know, the best league in the world being at the, you know, it's such a golden era for the NBA, but then we also had our own league kind of had its golden era as well. So it was really cool.
The only thing that sort of hurt us, you know, hurt our league, was they changed the time of year that it was played.
To summer, yeah.
Yeah, because it was, they were trying to work it in for a TV, like a free-to-air TV deal, and that sort of fell through, and the league just couldn't really recover from that and that sort of thing. And but no, it's good to see it regaining its momentum. Yeah, the momentum in that. The Bullets games last year, there was a lot of cases where, you know, 1,000 more people had to be turned away because they didn't have the seating capacity and that. I think this year, from the sounds of it, they're playing a few more games out of Boondall and at the Gold Coast Entertainment Center, which hold, you know, a lot more people. Like, Boondall holds twice the amount that, or more than twice the amount than the Brisbane Convention Center, and nearly twice the amount as the Gold Coast. Actually, the Gold Coast Convention Center holds about 1,000 or so more people than Brisbane Convention Center. And that's cool, and that sort of thing. That that's a positive sign that, you know, using these two venues, although Boondall's a pain in the ass to get to, and, you know, the Gold Coast is like an hour drive there and back sort of thing, so, or an hour each way and that sort of thing. So even that's a little bit hassle to get to and from and that. But, you know, they are bigger venues there, and they are drawing bigger crowds and that. So, I know a lot of the sponsorship sort of partnership deals and that also went up a lot in terms of this year, and I think even the, in terms of cost and even like the season tickets and that. But given, I'd imagine that would be a help to sort of went up to cover the cost of these NBA trip, like this NBA tour trip, and that it makes sense of why that happened and that. So, because the amount of work behind the scenes to get that done in the terms of partnerships, and organizing and planning things with Qantas beforehand and saying, look, we want to get these players, and these players will be traveling, and, you know, won't be traveling in economy, which is good because obviously most of them are so tall.
Yeah.
So, you know,
we know from experience. That...
Yeah. the groundwork behind the scenes work to get that partnership, and hopefully what it leads to, you know, something yearly and that with the NBA is, I can see why, you know, why, yeah, the costs went up a little bit in terms of that, but hopefully it's a good thing in terms that results to better product in terms of the game as well. You know, the game becoming more professional. So in that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Like, I remember
years
ago. And
more successful. Yeah.
I remember years ago when they were promoting, we had the Hunter Pirates that replaced the Falcons that had been defunct. We got the Hunter Pirates back, basically Newcastle's team. I saw an ad on TV that said it's a great family night out with a game of basketball thrown in. And I just cringed as a basketball fan. Like, no, I know what you're trying to do, but this is a professional league, you know, the basketball, that is the show, you know, like that you're going to sell this as a, you know, serious competition, because, okay, you may get a few people there, casuals, you know, and this sounds awfully snobbish, but it did turn me off as a basketball fanatic, because it didn't treat the game and the team with respect, you know, they treated them like a sideshow, you know, a game of basketball thrown in, but the league is not treating itself that way now, and it's really refreshing to see. And the next step, obviously, is to get them into NBA Live 19. So we have the NBL represented along with the WNBA G League, maybe. I'm throwing that out as an idea. That's not a rumor at all. Next year, let's have the NBA, let's have the WNBA, let's have the G League, let's have the NBL too. You know, you got the historical teams and EuroLeague and NBA in 2K, and Live can have everything else. So. So, hey, why not? You know, I'd buy it. I mean, I'd buy the game anyway, but I'd be happy to see it, shall I say. Put it that way.
Well, we've got to take into account that 2K17 did include the Australian Boomers.
That's true, yeah.
So, you know, there's a potential recognition of the talent that we've got coming and all that sort of thing.
They do Brock Modem an apology for that face, though. That was
Yes. Even a couple of the others, like Chris Goldings and stuff like that as well. Yeah, they're too generic and just wrong.
just a little bit, yeah. So I guess that's brought us to the end of episode number 216 of the NLSC podcast, not episode number 215, like I wanted to say at the beginning of the show in the outtake that you will not hear because I deleted that recording. Sorry, everyone. Might be in the recycle bin. There's no need for you to hear that that shameful stumbling over the intro. But as always, we hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, we encourage you to, of course, tune in each and every week on the NLSC. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes or the Stitcher app for Android and iOS devices. As long as you're tuning in one way or the other and enjoying the show, that's the main thing. By all means, connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter at the NLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. We've got the Instagram account that now, Ben, which is nice. NLSC Basketball, because the NLSC was taken.
Those bastards.
So unfortunately no consistent branding there. I suppose our YouTube, of course, youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center. We do vary it up a little bit, you can find the links on the site, of course. The site being, of course, NBA-live.com for everything we do for basketball video games. So until next week, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And we're out, just like the NBA Live 18 demo next week.
Ooh, nice.